The writer Paul Theroux taught in Africa almost 40 years ago, in Malawi and in Uganda. And then he went back more recently. He traveled from Cairo to Cape Town, through his old haunts and other places, and he recorded his observations in the book Dark Star Safari. This week, with President Bush making his grand tour of Africa, we're checking in with what others make of Africa today. Paul Theroux, you started out by saying in your book, all the news out of Africa is bad. It made me want to go there. I wanted the pleasure of being in Africa again. And what you describe seems like a colossal journey of disappointment in pursuit of that pleasure.
Well, it's a difficult place. I must say, unlike President Bush, I went overland through Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, across Lake Victoria, and then bumbled my way southward to South Africa. But I was heading back to my old Peace Corps school, where I taught 1963 to 65 in the bush in Malawi, and I wanted to see what had happened in 40 years, 40 years of aid, 40 years of nice people sending T-shirts, giving advice, telling people how to fertilize their garden. 40 years, you know, you would have thought this would make a profound difference. Well, it's made no difference at all. In fact, Malawi is much worse off.
When you were teaching in Africa, that is, when you were there the first time, you were there as an instrument of aid, of Western aid to newly independent countries. And you came away from your return journey, it seems, very cynical about aid, whether it's governmental or from non-governmental organizations. You find the damage that such aid does to African countries outweighing, it seems, the benefits.
Absolutely. I think aid has been actually harmful. I didn't think that at the time. But at the time, in the early 60s, we thought in 5 or 10 years, this place is going to be fine. We thought we'll be training enough teachers so that they'll displace us. We won't need to be here in 10 or 15 years. 40 years later, people are still training teachers. Teachers are dying of AIDS faster than they can be turned out by teacher training colleges, or they're leaving, or they're going to other professions. I was just in Zimbabwe and Zambia after my trip because I wanted to see what happened 2 years after I left in Zimbabwe and Zambia and Malawi. 2,000 doctors have been produced by the Zambian, the University of Zambia Medical School. 2,000 doctors. Fewer than 180 are still in the country. So Africans have the solution to their own problems, but aid has become an industry, and there's no exit strategy. It's just endless.
When you describe the rare African enterprise that is actually a business that Africans are actively involved with profitably, the one that stands out is, tragically, making coffins.
Politicians in Uganda and Malawi and Tanzania, to a certain extent, have to provide coffins to their constituents if they want votes. Used to be T-shirts, now it's coffins. So it's a very visible business, coffin making. I will say AIDS is not visible. You don't see people tottering down the road looking frail. They're in the village. They're not in hospitals. Everyone knows, you know, half a dozen people who've died of AIDS, but you don't see it. It's not visible.
But one consequence of AIDS, or one consequence of the public health improvements that have not occurred over recent decades, is the youth of people. That you're always remarking on the diplomats who are in their 30s everywhere, because, frankly, there just aren't that many people in their 50s.
Very few people get to a ripe old age. The average life expectancy in Zambia has just been reduced to 33. It's 34 or 35 in Zimbabwe. It's about 33 or 34 in Malawi. So the youth of people, it's astonishing. The number of young people wandering around with nothing to do is amazing. There's many, many more people. Malawi has now four times the number of people that were there in the early 60s, and now is a country of 13 million people.
There's a conversation I'd like you to talk about a bit. It's a conversation that you relate in Malawi with, among others, an old friend. Another is a former Malawian ambassador, and they ask you for your impressions of their country. And you describe the villages where the shops where there once were Indian merchants have been shuttered and nobody's working in them, and what happens after that?
Yes, the Indians were chased out, and officially by Dr. Banda, Hastings Banda,
the dictator of
Malawi. So they thought, well, the Indians are out, we'll take their shops, everything will be hunky-dory. I said, what happened? You know, what happened? There's no business. The shops are empty. They said, well, you know, Africans are no good with figures. We're not commercial people. You know, we're intellectuals. We're not that kind of person. And they were kind of belittling the very idea that someone should have to account for canned goods or do accounts. And I said, you can't do accounts? No. I said, well, what do you do when Save the Children or Oxfam or the World Bank gives you $300 million? who's doing the accounting then? Oh, well, you know, that really didn't compute. So nothing replaced the Indians there. In fact, the business was done by women. Women run Africa. If it weren't for women, Africa actually would be in a very dire state. So women sit in the ground in front of these shops selling cooking oil and flour and bananas, and that's business. Well, that's all right. I mean, if you want something more than that, it will have to, I suppose, evolve.
It's much more fashionable nowadays to say Africans have the same political and material aspirations as anyone else in the world. We just have to get the right relationship between the marketplace and the government and other institutions of life, public health, education. You're saying something different. You're saying, for whatever reasons, the aspirations that people bring to life are really quite different in much of Africa.
I think that, I mean, if you we tend to impose will on Africans and our dreams and our hopes, and I think subvert their ambitions. But in general, rural Africa, living through the seasons, planting, gleaning, harvesting, and whatever, is going on just as it has for hundreds, if not thousands, of years.
Paul Theroux, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Robert.
Paul Theroux, the author most recently of Dark Star Safari, Overland from Cairo to Cape Town.